This is Awareness Explorers.
Welcome back, fellow explorers, to Awareness Explorers. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Robinson, and I'm with my compadre in cosmic exploration,
Brian Tom O'Connor.
There you go. And today we are going to explore the downsides of awakening, or the potential downsides of awakening, which is something that we have avoided because this podcast is largely about how to awaken and the upsides of awakening and some issues that come up along those lines. But there are downsides to awakening, and it's good to explore it so you know what to avoid. And it's a subject that rarely is talked about in awakening circles, just like, you know, real estate agents don't talk about the downsides of being a real estate agent. So when we decided to talk about this, Brian, what popped into your head?
Well, at first I wasn't sure that there were any downsides of actual awakening. I think there are plenty of misunderstandings of what awakening is and what awakening involves. And that's what I would call the downside. But first, I thought, let's just define awakening. What are we talking about?
I have no idea. We should do a podcast on that.
Good idea.
Well, that's a really good point, because anytime you're trying to have a discussion on topics like this, what I notice is that people are using different words to describe different things, or sometimes the same words to describe different things. Uh-huh. So you can't really have a meaningful discussion until you define terms. So what do you mean by awakening?
What I mean is discovering that your identity is not just the little mind, body, personality, but universal awareness, and that your true identity is happiness itself. And it's realizing that and allowing it to color your daily life.
Mm-hmm. That's decent. I like Ajahn Chah's definition because it's so simple, which is awakening is an identity shift from thinking that you're an ego personality to thinking or experiencing yourself as awareness.
Yes, that's pretty much a different way of saying the same thing. He said it more elegantly.
Well, that's why they pay him the big bucks.
That's right.
One of the downsides, though, and I have 10, just in case you can't come up with any, I wrote down 10, is that the process can be very disorienting. You know, spiritual awakening can lead to a shift in one's beliefs, values, and perceptions, and it can be a disorienting process for most people. It's usually not totally smooth, so I would say that that's a downside.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by disorienting, because I've not experienced that. And so can you go into a little more detail about what you mean by disorienting and why disoriented?
Well, first of all, if you're trying to let go of one identity, there can be resistance. There can be, when people go through, let's call it Kundalini awakenings, those can be very challenging. Also, your values might change, you know, from I'm a CEO making money to, wait, I'm a soul that, you know, why am I doing this? So there's a lot of shifts that can come, that can happen sometimes very quickly when people awaken. Uh-huh. You know, if it's done over many years, it's much simpler, but you're changing your entire identity, your values, your beliefs. And if that happens quickly, it's can be very difficult for people.
Yeah, I'm glad you made that distinction, because between happening gradually and happening quickly. Because yeah, it seems more likely to happen when there's all of a sudden you the sense of yourself as a separate person falls away. That's going to take some big adjustment to. But when you sort of little by little see it, that all those thoughts about who you are not who you are, they're just appearances in awareness, then it's a little less of an adjustment. But what would you say would be You talked about how to avoid these pitfalls. How would you avoid this one?
Well, you and I haven't had this disorientation, emotional turmoil thing happen really. So we can't really speak very well to that. But when I do coach people and they're having this, you know, I tell them to take it slow, no hurry, to make sure that you stay grounded in the regular material world. Don't do drugs that might accelerate the process or make you more confused. So there's things that I usually tell people, hey, you know, take it slow and let it be gradual. There'll probably be less disorientation or turmoil if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of turmoil, you know, it can bring up stuff, you know. It can bring up past traumas. It can bring up suppressed feelings of anger or things like that. So whenever you're trying to create a major shift in a person, a lot of the stuff that has been hidden shows stronger. You know, a bright light brings up deeper shadows. So some people go through an emotional turmoil part where they realize, oh my God, I had this trauma and I forgot about it, or I am really very angry and I've just been kind of sitting on those emotions. So that's another potential downside.
Yes, that one I can speak to more from firsthand experience, because I certainly did have a lot of emotions coming up. And it brings me to what I call one of the misunderstandings about awakening, is that somehow it will create a state where you don't have so-called negative emotions, or where you don't have emotional turbulence. And assuming that that's the case is a recipe for disaster, because then not only will, because you're letting go of a lot of the clutching and holding on that had kept these emotions at bay, that dissolves, they're going to arise. And when they arise, and then you have an idea that they shouldn't be there, that's the crux of the problem. Emotions themselves can come, and if you have an idea that they shouldn't be there, they're going to be 10 times worse than they are. But if you can find a way to sit with them, to allow them, just for the time being, to allow them to be, to look for places in your body where you're tensing and seeing if you can let that go, they can enter and then leave again. You become more transparent, or more porous is a better word.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought all that up, because I think that that is a common misunderstanding, and that you add a pile of crap onto your already turbulent emotions if you're not allowing them, or if you think that they're wrong. So that's a great point. You know, another possibility for the downsides of awakening is that it can go wrong. You know, I know people who ended up, you know, becoming very narcissistic or arrogant or alienated from people. And I would call those all divergences from awakening, but they're not uncommon, especially the social alienation, because as you start to not be interested in other people's stories, because you're like just present, you know, it becomes a challenge sometimes to realize, well, I'm like an alien now compared to a lot of my friends and family. And I think that that can be a major challenge for people.
Yeah, I suppose it can, although it's hard for me to imagine a person who is truly awakened, who does not have compassion for other people, and who do not, when they hear their stories, imagine, wow, that must be difficult for that person, as opposed to a judgment that, oh, that person is just all that wrapped up in their story. I think this is the biggest downside, is that your idea that if you've seen through your story, that everyone else should have seen through theirs, and therefore you're better than them. That's just arrogance, and that's not awakening.
No, it's not awakening, but it often is a step on awakening. A lot of people go through that.
Yes,
you know,
yes, you're right.
It's a little bit of a, of a tunnel you have to travel through, and that tunnel can be a little bit dark at times.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yes, you're right. And as a matter of fact, that sheds a whole new light on this whole topic, because when I think of awakening, it seems to me that it is knowing that love is the ground of all existence, that is everything. But on the way to discovering that, that's where the pitfalls are, going through that tunnel before you open up to love being the answer to everything.
Yeah, I totally agree. But the tunnel is long, and at some places subtle. You know, not many people have the full awakening all the time where they're totally pure. There's a lot of shadow in people, even in spiritual teachers. You'll see that, my God, that you know, they may be a very powerful being, very awake, but that one shadow element has still followed them, and it's creating havoc.
Yep, that's for sure. I've seen that happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, also I see that some people become very unmotivated. I remember Jeffrey Martin of the Finders Course said something that when he was interviewing 1,200 so-called enlightened people, he saw that a lot of their lives were just a total mess, and they didn't care. You know, yeah, there's no electricity because I forgot to pay the bills, but, you know, who cares? Or other disharmonious things that being that we care about these things, we said, hey, that doesn't look so good that their house is falling apart or something like that. Mm-hmm. So motivation can be a real problem in terms of holding a job or making money. And it may not be a problem for the fully awakened being, but it creates problems for other people.
Yeah, I suppose it can if other people have to take care of you because you can't take care of the basic elements of daily life. But that sounds pretty scary, and I don't know a lot of people for whom that's the case. Jeffrey Martin has talked to a lot more people than I have, so he has a much bigger sample size. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen much of that. I don't know how common that really is, but
Well, first of all, there's different types of awakening. You know, what he might call different locations, and so it's not something that everybody goes through.
Right.
But it is something that I went through.
Yes. I
took his course, and for maybe 3 months, I was in a state of pretty continuous bliss. And I'm normally, as you know, a neurotic achiever. And my wife was a little bit concerned, like, what are you doing today? Meditating? What are you doing tomorrow? I don't know. You know, it was kind of like that for about 3 months. And so I did kind of go through this, but I came out the other end. Otherwise, this podcast would not be happening, probably.
I think the reason I might have a different take on it is because I came from a different direction. Yeah. I didn't come from being an overachiever to all of a sudden losing motivation. I went from being an underachiever, person who wasn't, you know, who wasn't highly ambitious and highly motivated, to a person for whom that was okay. I stopped criticizing myself because of that. And who realized that when I relax more and allow things to be as they are, things mysteriously tend to work out.
But you also have to do things.
I mean, part of acceptance is not only accepting what is, but it's also accepting what you're called upon to do. Mm-hmm. You're called upon to take steps to make money, to put food on the table for your family. Allow that, accept it, and do it.
Yeah. But, you know, once again, the transition to a new behavior that especially happens quickly can be startling to you and others. And that is a potential challenge that I did go through. And luckily, I am able to brush my teeth now.
So how did you get out of it?
It just naturally changed.
Okay.
You know, I think I needed a shift to see that there was another way of being more clearly. And then the question is always, how do you integrate awakening into a more normal life? And that eventually has happened. Sometimes I go on one side of the pendulum, and sometimes I go on the other side of the pendulum. I'm still trying to find that balance point. But when going through intense awakening experiences, you can definitely end up on one side of that extreme. Another potential downside to the awakening process, we'll call it, is some people go through physical symptoms, intense energy rushes where they can't sleep, you know, Kundalini awakening. Ajahshanti had a headache for a year, digestive stuff. And these can be associated with energetic shifts that can happen through awakening. It's not something that I really experienced, but I have seen it in other people.
Yes, I've heard people describe that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is more of a value judgment, but sometimes I see awakening people, they change their values in a way that I don't like. And so that's not necessarily a downside. But for example, I had a friend that was very into activism, political activism, you know, climate change, things like that. And as he became more awakened, he kind of like, well, you know, things will happen as they happen. And that didn't look particularly good to me, but he certainly had more peace. So I'd have to say that the value changes that people experience can look a little dubious.
I suppose so. There is an element of letting the world be as it is, as you let yourself and others be as they are, which is a part of this. And sometimes that might lead to a sense of less interest in activism, in changing things. I think that this, I don't have one answer for this. I think it really is individual. I mean, there are wise people in all cultures throughout history who you hear pretty much ignore politics, and they figure that the government is going to be run by the people who want power, and you just, you know, go to your mountaintop retreat and live your life of love and bliss and let them do whatever they want. But that's one way of doing it. Another way is accepting that, as this is a reiteration of what I said before, when you allow things to be as they are, one of the things you're also allowing is that sometimes you're called to take action to help others. And if you think that awakening means you never take action to help others, then I think maybe not a downsizing of awakening, that's a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a complex issue. And there is no, as you say, clear-cut rule that you can say that's a downside or not. But it's something to look at and to see, like, well, you know, some people, maybe they kind of do a spiritual bypass. Speaking of spiritual bypassing, that's a potential downside of awakening, and one that I personally know, I see a lot, that people use their ability to tap into peace as a way to avoid certain emotions or certain challenging situations. And it doesn't look good, but it's particularly insidious because it feels good to the person doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you see this in big ways and small ways all the time. And it's something that we have to be aware of, that as you gain this superpower of finding peace in any moment, how do you use that superpower? Do you use it carefully, or do you use it to avoid relationships or money issues or things that you'd rather not deal with?
Yeah, I think that what you really have to look at is, since I think one element of true awakening is the dropping of the saying no to anything. And if you are using it to say no to something, like your emotions, then that's not true awakening. If you're using meditation or any spiritual practice to avoid having your feelings, you're saying no to something that's actually arising and happening, and then you're suppressing. And feelings are going to stick around until they've been heard, until you've allowed them to be there, until you've let go of all the strategies not to have them. And when you allow them to happen, they will come up. And if your idea is no, they shouldn't be here, then you're in trouble. And if your idea is okay, they're here, let's relax as much as possible and allow them to come and allow them to leave.
Mm-hmm. You know, a problem with spiritual bypassing is that it's very hard to see in yourself, because it doesn't seem like a bad thing. You're feeling peaceful, you know? So it's something that almost has to be pointed out by other people. And we don't have good systems for feedback that way. I used to live in a spiritual community where there was a lot of feedback that way, and it was very helpful. But outside of that community, it's rare that somebody would say, hey, you know, I think you're lying to yourself there, or I think you're avoiding your feelings right now, or something like that. I don't know if you get that feedback, but I rarely do, and I even ask for it.
Yeah, see, I come from the opposite side, where I live my life already critical of myself. And it was when I stopped criticizing myself that life became loving and peaceful and joyful. So I don't look, you know, so we're on totally opposite sides, and we always have been on this issue.
Yeah.
My, you know, I think what's wrong with me is the entire question of what's wrong with me is the antithesis of awakening, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that brings up the issue of different people need different things at different times.
That's right, because I can only speak for myself. Obviously, you are different.
Yeah. And that's one of the potential downsides of awakening as well, is that you might grab on to the wrong tool. And for you, you know, the idea of like searching for what's wrong was doing damage to you, whereas for me, searching for how wonderful I was doing damage to me.
I see. Yes, sure.
So it's easy on this path to you know, it's a narrow path, and there's a lot of ways to fall off. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the dangers that you're going to use the wrong tool at the wrong time and end up in hell.
Yep.
And even have good intentions, but you know, still it's not an easy thing to know exactly what tool and what idea you need for your next step.
I guess you really have to look honestly and not pay attention to the thoughts that are telling you something shouldn't be the way it is. I think that's the only way.
Yeah. I think it also helps to have people around you that you trust who can say, hey, you know, this is what looks to me like might be helpful. You know, of course, you have to use your intuition and your best judgment and self-honesty, but if you can find somebody whose opinion you tend to trust that way, that's another data point.
Yeah. Yes. And a really good teacher too can also do that.
Absolutely.
Point out when you are trying to avoid your feelings, your emotions, or point out when you are denying anything that is. Mm-hmm. In other words, when you're not living in what is, you're living in what should be.
It was fun with my old teacher to see how he would treat different people differently. and he'd give people different tasks. So you got to see kind of his opinion of what you needed next. For me, and I never told this to anybody else, but he told me to become part of a devotional religious group. Well, that was really challenging for me, but ended up being really helpful because that, you know, I'm very intellectual, and the idea of singing songs to God was not on my list of spiritual activities. It was wonderful after I got over how terrible it was. But to this day, it's very useful for me. But he never told anybody else to do that. Uh-huh. So right. Sometimes that feedback can be very helpful.
That's so interesting. Well, again, it comes to the same principle. What are you saying no to?
Yeah.
And that was an element of yourself that you were saying no to. And he saw it and he said, say yes to this, because that's right. What you're saying no to. And I think that if you can either find out in yourself what you're saying no to, or have wise friends or teachers who can gently let you know what you're saying no to, then that can be helpful, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Some people have a loss of interest in material things and functioning in daily life. Obviously, that can create a problem. And one aspect of that is maybe less interest sometimes in relationships, or unstable, like it upsets the apple cart in some way. And this happened with my wife, where I was for a while less able to identify with her stress and stories. And you know, she was worried that I was going to go off into La La Land, which I did to some extent. And, you know, it wasn't a big thing because I soon adapted and she adapted. But I have seen that there are couples I see where the woman or the man says, well, you know, I can't relate to them anymore. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, that's a really tricky one, because then you have to decide, you know, what was this relationship built on to begin with? If mm-hmm. it's so fragile that it's going to cause problem when you become more open and allowing, then you have to look at it. But at the same time, I think the key to a relationship is pretty much allowing the other person to be as they are, or and to not realize that your happiness is based on or coming from the other person. Each individual in a relationship has to find ways to be happy for themselves and then share it with the other person, not get it for the other person. Of course, you know, it's more complicated than that, because let's say you're in an abusive relationship, then that's when just allowing the other person to be as they are has its limits, and you have to love yourself enough to be able to either stand up and say, you know, this is hurtful and wrong, or get out of it. And again, there's no one answer here, but when in doubt, love, and then see what happens. Love is always the final answer, but the practical answer isn't always clear. But with love, the practical answer will arise.
Well, I do a lot of couples counseling, and what I see is that couples come up with patterns in their relationship that either might be a little bit dysfunctional, but they're kind of comfortable. And when one person goes through a spiritual awakening, that does disrupt the apple cart. And then that puts a challenge or a stress on the other partner. How do you adapt? So yeah, love is ultimately the answer, but generally we're not that loving human beings, so we can't necessarily rely on the pure answer, what people go through when one person changes rapidly, is often very challenging, and the other person might not be into or supportive of those changes. And you have to be ready to deal with that if you're going through the awakening process. Now, sometimes it gets much better when somebody's going through awakening. So there's no clear cut that makes it worse. It can make it much better, but it's always a change, and change in general, especially rapid change in relationship or otherwise, can be very challenging.
It's interesting. I wonder if whether people's experience is based on their, I guess, connection to beingness. For example, I don't hear these stories of people saying, "Oh, I awoke and my relationship fell apart." I hear stories of, "Oh my gosh, my spouse said to me, 'Wow, you're so much kinder than you used to be.'" And I'm wondering why I hear all those stories and you hear all these other stories.
Well, I am a psychotherapist, so I get, yes, people don't come to me saying, "Hey, things are great, you know, no problems. I'm not even sure what to talk to you about."
Of course, you know? Of course. I forgot to take that into account. Sure.
I once complained to my wife, "God, all my clients are having difficulties." And she said, "By the way, you are a psychotherapist, you know." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I forgot about that."
Yeah, well, it's like a doctor saying, "Yeah, I don't understand. All my patients are sick."
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I do. My wife luckily has said that since I've been on the awakening journey, especially in the last 5 years, I've gotten kinder and more pleasant and more supportive. So that feels really good to get that kind of feedback that you're hopefully moving in the right directions. But people can go through all kinds of weird tunnels on this path. And hopefully most of them are temporary. Hopefully most of them end in expansive light. But sometimes the going can get tough.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. Sometimes the going can get tough. And as it was before going through this path. I mean, life is full of tough going. And the trick is to notice when your mind is telling you something shouldn't be happening.
Right.
And the more you notice that, and the more you realize that it's not necessarily telling the truth. I mean, be thankful to your mind because it's only trying to protect you. It just may not really need to protect you in the same way anymore.
Yeah. And just to do our obligatory two things. One is to say that we feel it's worth it to go from having your identity be in the elusive and often deceptive ego to pure awareness, because the perks are friggin' fantastic when you are getting there. And hopefully our audience already knows that. And hopefully our audience knows that they can get special stuff from us by supporting us for as little as $1 a month. At patreon.com/awareness explorers. We usually send extra interviews and meditations and blogs, and it's a great way to support us to get this out. And tell your friends and family about this. The more you're supported in your awakening process through the group that you are around, probably the smoother and more enjoyable it will be.
Yeah. Thank you for both of those reminders. And I think it's good to remind people that it's totally worth it. And that if there are bumps in the road, then just say that's part of the road.
That's
the road I'm on right now. And focus on not this thing that might happen to you in the future, but just on, is there really a problem right now? Or is that just your mind, whose job it is to find problems, just telling you there's a problem?
Yeah. Being with what is, that's a good summary what we're trying to do.
Yeah, right.
Without resistance.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, it's a good time to do a meditation, and I just happen to have one.
Oh, good. I thought you might.
So it's a meditation on how to not resist some of the things that can show up in the awakening process. So begin by finding a comfortable position. And if you can, close your eyes, take a deep breath. As best you can, let go of any tension or stress that you might be holding on to. Allow your awareness to settle into the present moment. Notice the sensation of air going in and out of your body. And feel yourself becoming more grounded and rooted in the here and now. So I invite you to explore the concept of awakening and what it can bring about on that road. The insights, the experiences of interconnectedness, but also it can bring some downsides. So allow yourself to acknowledge any feelings of discomfort or unease that may arise as you consider these downsides. It's okay to feel resistance or apprehensive. These are natural responses to exploring the potential downsides or shadow side of awakening. So bring your attention now to any emotions or sensations that arise within you as I mention some of these potential challenges. I want you to notice any tension or resistance you feel in your body. As you think about how awakening can sometimes bring feelings of disorientation or confusion. Perhaps you've experienced this at some moments in the past. And as your awareness expands, you may find yourself questioning long-held beliefs or assumptions about yourself or the world around you. And to acknowledge that this can be unsettling at times as you navigate through unfamiliar territory. So as best you can, take a moment to acknowledge and allow any feelings of uncertainty that may arise within you. Know that it's okay not to have all the answers, and that the journey of awakening is a process of continual learning and growth. Another challenge you may face is the experience of isolation or alienation. As you awaken to deeper truths about the nature of yourself and reality, you may find that you no longer resonate with the beliefs or values of some people around you. This can lead to feelings of loneliness or disconnection as you seek to find your place in the world. And if you've had that experience, or are having it now, allow yourself to acknowledge these feelings of isolation or alienation that can arise. Know that you're not alone on this journey and that there are others who can understand and support you. Finally, one of the profound challenges of awakening is the experience of facing the shadow aspects of yourself. Those parts of you that may have been repressed or denied for so long. This can be a deeply uncomfortable and confronting process at times, And as you come face to face with your own shortcomings, there can be resistance and feelings of vulnerability. So take a moment to acknowledge any feelings of fear or resistance that have arisen or may be arising in you now as you think about your shadow parts. And know that this is an essential part of the healing and integration process, and that by embracing your shadow, you can cultivate greater wholeness and authenticity within yourself. As we near the end of this meditation, take a few moments to simply be with whatever thoughts or emotions or sensations may be present for you right now. There's no need to judge or analyze your experience. Simply allow yourself to be exactly as you are in this moment. And when you feel ready, gently bring your awareness back to your body and your breath. Gradually begin to wiggle your fingers and toes, bringing gentle movement back into your body. And know that by facing challenges with courage and compassion, you are continuing to grow and evolve on your journey of awakening. And when you're ready, slowly begin to open your eyes and return to the space around you and enjoy your day.
Wow, thank you so much for that. You know, I think the key element in that whole meditation was compassion, self-compassion. You know, when you run into these challenges, be compassionate to yourself and, you know, cut yourself a little slack, but also know that you can get through them. They will pass. Anyway, beautiful. Thank you so much.
And good and wise words to leave our fellow explorers with. And we wish you the best. And until next time, keep exploring.
Keep exploring.
Thank you for listening to Awareness Explorers. To learn more, you can check out our website at awarenessexplorers.com. Please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast app. We'd love it if you would post a review. And please share our link on Facebook and with family and friends, because knowing yourself as awareness is the greatest gift you can give yourself or someone you love.